our first meeting in Holy Trinity. Just a few points to bring it to order, which is health and safety. Should any alarms go, the stairs that we come up, we go down the stairs. Please do not use the lift. Okay, so if anybody needs a piggyback, I'll help you out. The cloakrooms are out of the door, turn left, ladies to the left and the gents to the right. The lights are on. Talking about the lights, may I ask that nobody touches the lights, because we've been told off for messing around with the lights, just trying to see how it works. So apologies for that.
Point of information, sir. We're in the church, so we have to cross our fingers when we mention the devil.
It was something else, isn't it?
Fortunately, Brian, I'm not sitting here, so when the thunderbolt comes down from heaven, we'll be well on his way.
Thank you very much, ladies and gents. I wish to request that Councillor John Humphreys act as my vice chair. Any objections, please? No? Thank you very much. Before we start, apologies. I'd like to welcome back Maddie. Good effort. Nice to see you, my dear. Right, apologies, please. Well, I've got Brian Cole. By the way, it's his birthday tomorrow, so if anybody's got his email, you have got it. Let's give him a little call on the email. He's down in Cornwall on holiday. Richard Scott, Mark Williamson. Bill, you'd like to speak about Mark Williamson.
Thank you, Chairman. Just that Mark Williamson had an old conversation with him, and he asked that I give this information to all of us, all councillors. As you probably know, Heather, his wife, has suddenly
Terry Hill, that's why we normally leave them out. Terry Dalzell.
In the hospital. In addition, Mark is awaiting a hip replacement, and he told me that when I pass on, he will have to withdraw from council duties for the time being. He'll be back, of course, but he did ask me to read this out of the council meeting, so we'll soon survey and get back into full function, but other people will be picking up his duties in the meantime.
Thank you very much, Bill. Other persons, Christine Norton, Tony Hill, Terry Darville, Claire Goff.
Pauline
Garfield
as well.
Pauline
Garfield. I'm stepping to say, because the council not send up his wishes to Mark and obviously expressed our support in, that we get on to put together and that we wish him well and obviously support his decision.
I support that. And the other person that is missing out at the moment is our newly elected councillor, which is Daryl Nicholas. So I brought that forward. What I'd like to do on that one is to congratulate all the candidates that took part in the by-election. All parties worked extremely hard for this seat, and thanks are extended to their helpers, supporters, and most importantly, the voters of Brixington. So well done on that one. Public forum, there's nobody here, so we can crack on that one. Say again?
There is no clock in
this room. I've got it on my desk.
Yeah, no, and I was doing the same.
Okay.
Obviously, the members of the public were concerned. They wanted to know we started on time, that they're having their 3 minutes, and of course, you had no clock.
No, okay. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lynn.
Electric clock, maybe. Mm-hmm. Digital clock.
It was just an observation for the members of the public that said, well, we know, you're saying the business is, but how do we know?
Right, so town clerk's got that in hand now. Thank you very much. So make sure that's in place for next time. Council meeting minutes. To confirm and sign as a correct record, the minutes of the meeting of the Town Hall held on the 19th of September. They are attached. May I have a proposer and a seconder, please?
I think Bill would like to make an amendment.
May I please make an amendment? It's on page 92. Under C16/129, that's not that one, it's just page 92. If you look at that, the paragraph up from the resolution, before it says Councillor Desart seconded the motion, I'd like to add in just a few words that are missing there. It did say Councillor Desart seconded the motion, of any stakeholder discussions with all parties concerned, and I'd like to add in to achieve the best outcome for residents of
Exeter.
Right,
thank
that's
you.
Noted and on. Any more? No? May I have a proposer and a seconder then, please? Steve Gazzard and Bruce. Thank you very much. Matters arising from the council minutes, are there any? No, good, we'll move on. Declaration of pecuniary interest and dispensations.
My wife is a student at the Stratford Club.
Thank you, so that's Bruce. Anybody else? No, thank you very much. Urgent business? None. So we'll move on. To resolve the press and public to be excluded, we have nothing there, so we can still move on. Number 7, questions under standing order 10, none. Say again.
Chairman, forgive me interrupting. Just on the urgent business, I think you would probably like to announce a consultation
for right.
The post office accounts.
Yeah, it's for information only. It's basically to urge the residents of Exmouth to go online because there is a consultation for 6 weeks, which ends on the 7th of November, for the post office to move to WH Smith. We have, or Lisa has been trying, Lisa being the town clerk, has been trying to get someone from the post office to discuss this. So that is for information only. And thank you very much for that, Bill.
Can I just say...
are we not going to discuss it as a town council?
Well, it didn't get put on the agenda because I was waiting for the representative from the post office to come back to see if he could, if someone would come to the meeting. But in view of the fact that the consultation deadline is the 7th of November, if I can get an extension until the 10th, which is when our next full council meeting is, then I'll put it on the agenda for the next full council. If not, then we'll have to have a separate meeting to agree a response.
Sorry, yeah, it's just I didn't know that bit of information. It's just I've got teams of residents. Mm.
So if I can get someone to come, I think it would be better if I could get somebody to come and hear those concerns direct, because if we just submit it in writing, I don't know that anyone will pay any attention. Yeah.
Just to point out that although this consultation, the post office isn't closing, it's going to probably go to W.A. Smith.
Mm. Yeah, so okay.
People are concerned.
Thank you.
You can explain that is
a... Yep. I've said it's for information only, not for discussion tonight. Thank you very much, Bruce, on that one. And thanks, Lynn, for bringing that to our attention. We'll carry on. We are on number 8, to receive and consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies and the town clerk, town manager as appropriate, which comes under standing order 6.2. Planning committee, please, Lynn. 8.
Yes, I move the minutes of the meeting held on the 19th of September 2016. There are no recommendations therein. The only thing I would say is that on Monday the 17th of October we have got licensing forms and licensing coming at the end of the planning agenda. If anything, we should come. I say move.
Maddie?
haven't prepared a report to give you because I haven't had time to do one. I can give you a verbal update, but it would be completely off the top of my head. So I haven't had time to do one, Maddie. There's an RFO report, but there isn't a separate town clerk's report. And in fairness, I don't do one every month. It's only if I've got something extra to report that I tend to do a separate report. Otherwise, we're doing reports for the sake of reports.
Does everyone know what's happening with the new building and what is happening with planning, etc. Is everyone aware? Because I've been here, so I don't know.
Okay. Back to the planning committee. Proposer and a seconder. Do I need a proposer? And the seconder is Fred. So that's Lynn. Fred. With regards to the 17th of October, would you like me to attend that meeting?
Well, you can do. I mean, it's a normal planning meeting. It's just at the end of the planning meeting. There's we've got a representative from the licensing. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But the conclusion of the planning meeting, it's just I know other members of the council did ask if they could come, if they were able to come. And I'm just saying that, yes, if they want to come at the finish of the planning meeting, they can come.
Okay, so if you need me, I'll make myself available.
Yeah, thank you.
For noting only, a neighbourhood plan steering group, attached are the notes. Likewise, for the Exmouth Regeneration Programme Board, notes are attached.
I think Pauline might want to say something about the programme.
No, I'll clear that.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Local Action Group. Bill and Steve, please.
Thank you, Chairman. If I can go first, Steve. I wasn't at this particular meeting, and you've got the notes of the 14th of September, but I would like to refer to one part of it, which is at the end of those notes, because of the police called Appendix A, which consists of a series of questions which were put to the police following the Town Council Roadshow, and you'll say. A lot of questions came through from the public, and we clustered them into the main ones which concern the police, and I'll quickly go through. One of the first ones was disturbance from boy-girl races all over the town, actually. Pure Road, Park Mill, Salton Road, Douglas Avenue, Police Drive, everywhere, particularly late at night. The police had set up a monitoring device for speed in one of the locations, Carlton Hill, and found that there weren't many movements of excess speed. There were three recorded out of 5,000 monitored doing over 45 miles an hour, which is a 13. That means quite fast. However, they feel the results recommended no further action by enforcement or regulatory bodies. However, they are saying that it's still causing a problem, a noise problem, in these areas, and is accelerating up and down. And there seems to be an issue with noisy motorcycles particularly, and they will continue to monitor the problem and start to put up noise monitoring apparatus to see where these issues are, so then if it appears there is a lot of noise, they can then start to monitor them in force. Another question a lot of people ask, so vehicle visible policing in Exmouth was worried about on the seafront at night. The police said the numbers available of officers are primarily deployed to calls for service and have limited time when they're not deployed for general patrols. However, PCSOs are the main visible presence in communities. Another one, a lot of people ask, they feel there's a need for a police station somewhere for the size of this town, Exmouth. The police say the police station is fully staffed with uniformed officers. There's about a total of about 50 staff, officers and police staff, who work in Exmouth Police Station. And there are no immediate plans to move from the current site. Parked vehicles, cars for sale, that's been an issue in several places. The police response is the cars are parked legally. Nothing they can do. There's another one, fairly new, the volume of traffic exiting from Liverpool Business Park across the main road there, because of the new companies, shops, industries there.
And the police said DCC would be able to comment on this issue. However, there were no representations made by Highways during the planning application process. Surprise, surprise. The other issue that was put up a great deal from people was motorhomes park overhanging the pavement on the seafront. And the police's reply is that, again, it's another matter for Devon County Council and Devon District Council. As it's a parking issue, it does not meet the criteria for obstruction, so the police have no involvement. And the final one was a lot of residents in parking only areas, residents parking areas, need more effective enforcement of rules of no parking, particularly at night. And the police say, again, it is Devon County Council, it is Devon District Council, to enforce parking in the town. The police can deal with obstruction views if immediate access is required, but not with general parking. I just want to highlight to Steve from that.
1 second, Steve.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, there's not much more than I can add to what Bill did, although I did hope that the police did vote for a scheme at Cobham Hill, so it does show that we take the absolute concerns on board. The other issue that was raised, and it's not in the minutes for probably obvious reasons, the issue with the dinosaurs. All I would like to say on that is that inquiries are still ongoing.
Thank you very much on that one, Steve. And yes, police have got that in matter, so we'll leave that to the police. Brian, please. Brian Toohey.
Yeah, I think on speed, on the border racing thing, I think we should press for a second on our speed limit on the front and in that area. And the response about the police station is quite inadequate. It's not available to the public, and I did request to the inspector that he talked to us about where do I take the lost child? What can you do about that? Where do you take lost property? You know, these are two questions that are seriously concerning the public.
The police station at the moment still has a facility there. There's a police, support officer there, which is manned during the day, and also closes at 6, well after 6 o'clock, then it would have to be, 111? Does that answer your question? 101. I'll come back to you in a minute. Okay, Tim.
Yes, I wanted to. You mentioned the issue of obstruction, and the police certainly take that up. Now, I've certainly not in Holston, but I have to say, the realm where I am, at the end of the colony, there is a regular blockage of what we call service rooms these days, by back lanes, by people parking illegally, and they really ought to be. I've taken it up with the civil enforcement people, of course. They say, well, that's down to the police. So that's something that maybe can be taken up road watch.
Chair, we'll come back and answer that. I think Steve can bring that up again on the 9th of November leg meeting. But as I understand it, if it's an obstruction blocking an exit, particularly as far as emergency vehicles going in, except for fire engines, then it's an obstruction and the police can be phoned and they will do something, not just one of the one.
Thank you very much, Tim. Brian?
Thank you, Chair.
Brian Bailey.
Just a quick update on the Exeter Transport Partnership. We had a meeting just recently, it was poorly attended.
Can I stop you on that one? Because we're still dealing with the local action group. So I'll come back to that
May.
Please, 1 second. Clark.
I just wanted to say that some of those traffic issues, particularly relating to the seafront car parking of camper vans and possible 20 mile per hour zones, Lee Cranmer, who's the Devon County Council officer that's been working on the traffic management review, Was hoping to come to tonight's meeting to give you an update on where the traffic management review has got to and the process that will ensue. He wasn't able to make tonight because it's parents' evening, so he's asked me to arrange a special briefing session for you when he will update you on the proposals that are currently being put forward for improvements to some of these issues. So I'll arrange a date and he'll be able to give you an update. Right.
Thank you, Pauline. Come back to you in a moment, Maddie. Steve, you want to come in on that?
Yeah, you're right. There isn't anybody at the police station that can help with any inquiries at all.
So the support officer is not there.
There is the fund outside which you can use. But in relation, sorry, I've got to say about lost property. So what I've been told by the local action group is that they're trying to set up some sort of system.
There's online. A website. There's a website.
Yeah. Where you can go on and say, X.
Which property?
Sorry, yeah. I found X at a property, and there's only passports, and there's another, I think it's driving license, which you have to hand in. And then we can deal with via on the online system. But with a lot of child, if you've got one, I'll just go
Okay, thank you, Lisa.
Just to say that the town hall and the town council offices, we do get passports, driving licences and bus passes handed in to us. And if it's a passport or a driving licence, then we let the PCSOs know and they'll come and pick it up from us. But you're right, there is an online website where people can report lost property. And also, I know that a lot of lost property, keys and such like, gets reported on for sale in Exmouth on Facebook, and then owners get married up with lost property that way, so...
Maddie?
Yes, Chairman. Are you quite happy for me to ask other colleagues if they know anything about drones, bearing in mind the problem we have in Brixington? Because maybe then Steve Gazzard and Bill Nash can take it to the police and get some answers out of them.
If you
are you happy for me to ask?
After the meeting?
Right. My next door neighbour has a drone, landing in the garden at 10:30.
Maddie? Maddie, after the meeting on that one, please.
What do you mean?
For the drones, if you see Bill and Steve afterwards, so that they can then take it.
And no one else has had any problems with drones?
No.
Okay, if I can see you afterwards, I'll tell you what the police said. If you don't want everyone to know what
the police said. Well, everybody gets to hear it, to be
honest. Sorry?
I think it's important that everybody in the town council is detailed on this subject matter because it's something that's quite prevalent in the open world of drones. And I think, you know, the estate agents use drones, so I think it's an interesting subject matter that we should all hear.
Well, we can put that on the next agenda, okay?
I think we should hear it now,
actually. It'd be on the next agenda, okay? Bill? Have you finished with the local action group? The waterfront working party?
That's for Bill.
Yes, I'll report on that. We haven't got a written report on that yet, but there was an inspection on the 19th of September, and these were the issues that have come up and have been directed to various people. The inspection was from Auckland Point up to the Ocean Building. Concerned that the toilets are closed in the winter and that they should be open. An excessive amount of seaweed on the beach is being reported. Because of the erosion of the sand, some of the groins are very exposed to becoming trip hazards and the danger of reporting that. Particularly about the sand disappearing near the lifeboat station, the slipway from the lifeboat station is almost floating in places, so again, you pointed that out. There's one area along there where there are temporary steps made out of scaffolding poles, and we're checking whether these will remain or whether proper steps will be a lot of debris on the beach. Something for us as town council, the finger posts all need replacing painting because they're not visible. The railings also need painting of a broken car. It was noticed, forgive the pun, on the notice boards that they're incorrect. And again, we're going to ask CDDC to look at that. And also, there's one area where a picnic table was taken out, and we're going to ask whether we put back. So the two picnic areas on the other side of the road, opposite the seafront, can be used. They are the main points that were raised.
Could I just say something about one of the things? See, in particular. We got a lot of sea because the wind's been blowing from the east recently, and that's what happens when the wind goes from the east and gets seaweed on the beach. And it does, that's where it's supposed to be, isn't it? Groins are supposed to show when the sand goes away. So they're not put there to be hidden away all the time. They're put there to track the sand, and they get hidden, but then it comes off the ground, and you do see the groins again. So I don't think there's much we can do about groins not being covered with sand all the time, because that's just nature doing its job. The strip away by the lifeboat station is another thing. You know, the sand comes and goes, and we just have to put up with it.
Thank you very much. Lynn Nelson.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we took some photographs actually, because it was fairly high tide, but what happened was there was an island in the middle, and the water had actually come up to the wall of the island in the middle, and it looks like it's doing it all the time. So
it's the easterly winds do it. They make strange patterns on the sand, and they just try to tremble around the beach.
I mean, the groins, alright, we know that the groins show, but this is just coming up underneath the sand, so anybody who walks along it and stub their toe on it, not realising it gets. It's exactly the same where the lifeboat station is. Where the lifeboat station is, it's gone down where the concrete, you know, it's gone down into the ground. It's got about that much in there depth. And there's a piece of concrete around, which was that way down. I know it goes and comes in goes.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
Whatever, there's some.
I can see what you want to do about it.
Maddie.
Yes, I was chairman of Wrexham's Beach Working Party. We are aware of this. The University of Plymouth did say there was a problem. Countdown Terrace, if you phone them, they are supposed to move the sand from further down the beach, further up when the wind, east wind dies down, they will bring the sand back up the beach to cover that bit. But so the town clerk needs to contact Countdown Terrace.
So can we contact them?
So the update is that I have spoken to Nick. Some of these things, as you say, Pat, they are aware that it's nature. There are other things, for example, the slipway from the lifeboat station, they have got their engineers looking at it because they're worried that the supports might be being undermined by the sand level drop. So they are looking into the ones that they think need looking into.
Fred.
All I was going to say when I think it's been covered was if there is a set, surely the council can contact East End District Council, get a JCB on the beach, move the sand around a bit, and there'll be no big puddle in the beach.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Brian.
There was a mention, wasn't there, that the seawall was needing serious attention, and the cost was so high that they weren't going to pay for it. So where do we go with the seawall? Do we have to pray for a calm winter?
I think you're talking about the seawall down by the new
slipway,
aren't you?
Yes,
yeah,
that's
been fixed. That has been fixed, yes.
Any more on that one? No? Okay, so basically on that one then, town clerk's got that in hand with street scene, so hopefully we can get that squared away. Maddie, we're going to put the drones on the next agenda for full council so we can do a little bit more homework, see if anybody else has any problems, and then bring it as a one-er. Is that happy with that? Please. Thank you very much. Okay, move on.
Chairman, can I just say for clarity on that, the next LAG meeting is the 9th of November, 2 days after the next full council meeting. So we won't have any answer from the police for the full council meeting.
No, I've got the answer from the police, I can get it.
Okay.
Okay, if it's very quick, Maddie, let's clear the air on this one.
You want to know? Okay. Please say, as my neighbour phoned up, it was live, it was in the little next door door. We decided, because it was quite, they are quite big, that if we went near it and it came up in your face, you'd be in trouble. Not to touch it. She phoned the police. The police said it was nothing to do with them. There was two of you around. And I said, well, what is someone supposed to do, a member of the public, when they get them? And they said it's an aviation authority problem. So maybe you can ask the police to give you contact numbers for the aviation authority that responds to drones when the control battery is gone and they're left alive in someone's garden. It's very unsatisfactory to my way of thinking that elderly people should have these things land in their hedge or garden, and they certainly shouldn't touch them, because if they take off and they spin around, they have an eye out. So I should leave that with you in the street.
Did anybody find it?
Oh, I found out who it was. Yes, I told you what I thought.
No, we can't box her ears. Thank you very much.
The control set ran out, not the drone itself. So if the drone is suddenly taken off,
right,
we're in trouble.
So we will still have this at the next agenda, because we haven't got a telephone number or contact details. So between now and then, that's what we need to find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
okay, thank you very much. We'll move on then, please. Matter number 9, to receive an update from myself on the refurbishment of the clock tower. The Jubilee clock, after nearly 2 years of hard work has actually started on the Jubilee clock, which is a pivotal landmark for the Exmouth seafront. 4 quotes had been forwarded to the town clerk after the full council agreed to fund the work to be carried out. And our office administrator has worked very hard to gather together all the literature, pictures and measurements for the project to be forwarded to the listed buildings officer at East Devon District Council. So I'd like to congratulate Anne for the work that she's done, and well done, and thank you. The 4 quotes received were marked in a point system to ensure the best financial and quality of work to the site and for the Town Council. I'm pleased to report that West Country Stonemasons were the successful bidder, and the contract has been approved. Work started last Wednesday and will be completed hopefully within 6 weeks, depending on the weather conditions. At this stage, I must congratulate the Exmouth War and Flagpole Memorial Committee for securing the scaffolding, which has been up for the last 2 months, from DMB, that was free of charge, for also securing the Imperial Hotel for the use of the toilet and water facilities for the Masons, again without charge, and for securing from Wilson's Paints the supply and materials of paint for the metal posts either side of the clock to be repainted, again or free of charge. So a good effort all round. Let us hope the weather will be kind to us. I'll move on.
Yes, Brian Toy.
Right.
Is there any estimate of the actual cost involved? And is it possible to ask some of those affluent businesses on the front to make some sort of contribution to
Lisa, please.
So we budgeted, when we put the budget together at the beginning of the year, we'd had an indicative quote from a couple of companies. The lowest was 14,000, the highest was 25. So we budgeted £25,000. The four quotes that came in ranged depending on, because not all of the companies that quoted were able to carry out all the work that we'd requested. The cost for using West Country stonemasons is a little over £24,000, so it's within the £25,000 that we budgeted. So it's just over
£24,000. Is it possible to ask for sponsorship?
We haven't asked companies to sponsor the cost of the clock tower refurbishment, but as Councillor Traill said, you know, companies are in effectively offering sponsorship. The Imperial Hotel's providing the washroom facilities and welfare facilities for the workers on site. DMB Scaffolding have effectively sponsored the scaffolding costs because that's been at no cost to the council. And Wilson's Paint have provided the paint. So we are getting sponsorship, but not specifically towards the stonemasonry part of the project.
Brian Bailey.
Thank you very much, Jack. May I suggest that we ask the somewhat afterwards, maybe opticians of the Thomas Rock Street for production sponsorship to lead the way to open the gate for others to follow.
To ask next members.
Thank
you. Steve Gazzard.
Steve Gazzard.
When you say the engraving, do you mean the stone plinths at the top? Yes, so that's why there are stonemasons, because they all need to be carved to match. So the plinths at the top, I forget they've got a special name, but they're all being carved to match the existing ones. So we've had to satisfy the conservation officer at East Devon District Council that we're using stone of a similar quality, similar colour, etc. And they will replicate what's worn away, they will replicate and replace those stone plinths. Yep.
And this particular stonemason has said, and we've got it in writing, that should they find anything that they didn't find when they first went up and inspected it, if they find something that really needs doing, they will do that free gratis. So we've done extremely well. And I thank, again, Lisa and Anne and the Exeter Four and the Flag Memorial Committee for their hard work. Can we move on? Number 10, to discuss and agree a response to BT's public payphone removal.
Do you want me to take this one?
We'll start with Lisa. And then
so
Bill.
You'll see that BT have put out a proposal to remove 5 phone boxes in various locations in Exmouth. This is obviously part of a trend across the country where phone boxes are falling into disuse and the post office, the BT are taking them out of service. This is actually being handled by East Devon District Council, and we have to go back to Ed Freeman in the planning department to let him know whether we have any concerns over the removal of any of these telephone boxes specifically. If you don't express any concerns, there is an option for us to acquire one or more at a cost of £1 per telephone box. And I know that Carla Hiley is the arts manager. Did think that possibly the one on Exeter Road, if you didn't want it retained, could possibly be used as part of the art trail for the Exmouth Festival. It's not certain that she wants to do that, but if you don't have any concerns regarding the removal of the telephone boxes, then we will do a little bit more investigation into the possibility of using it for something else and acquiring it for the cost of £1.
Thank you, Lisa. Bill?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. We did discuss this at our group meeting, and there were some councils there, not every, well, in fact, every ward was represented. So would it help, Chairman, if I just say what councils are present for, then they have your views as councils, if it's thought, it was agreed that we should retain the kiosks at Fear Avenue and
Hanfield Park and Cable Lane, but it's possible that Holland Road and Exeter Road could be removed.
I'm quite interested in why there should be 261 calls made from Cable Lane when most of the others seem to be about 20 or 30. Sort of reasonable, isn't it?
I think that's because of the council estate, but we've got a huge.
Don't know.
Pauline. I just wonder whether it's just hoax calls. Yeah. As I look at this with Jaden and I. And the same with the Fear Avenue ones. You know, I know they can't just say, why the one from Morgan Road that's got 257 calls made from it?
These are the only five. Okay.
Yeah.
Pauline, please. Children.
School children go at night through there. We have had attacks in Thea Park in the past.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yes.
Steve Gazzard, please. There's a need.
Most people have to worry about the points, do forget to charge them up. I think it's important that we keep.
Lynn. Tim.
Yeah, just I support very much Steve's and what Bill has said and what Lynn has just said. Just to add to that, I mean, I just hope that something may be done on this occasion, because 4 or 5 years ago, when I was first elected to the council, there was a proposal from BT to take out the Holland Road. We had big discussions about that, and I tracked that and went back to BT and I went back by John Workers in. Absolutely nothing happened. The box was left there and it for a time it went dead and then it livened up again. So exactly what happened there? Goodness only knows.
Okay, Brian Toy.
Yeah, I think we just like to get a result of the telephone box, presumably the future. So I think BT and Openreach are responsible for public communications. And I think it's part of their responsibility to provide the public with these facilities. They're not used much, but then you don't know when an emergency is going to crop up. Not all of us have mobile phones. In fact, I got knocked out the other night because I didn't have my mobile phone, and I didn't have any chance to go to the phone box. So if there's no phone box, there would be even no chance of doing that. You know, all right, it costs money. BT is a large company that makes a lot of profit. Some of its profit should be devoted to service. And this is what we lose with these privatised companies. They're forgetting the idea of service to the public. In the old days, the post office existed to provide a service. If it showed a profit or broke even, that was good. But if it lost money, if we still maintain the service now, of course, the bottom line of profit rules everything. And that's a change. The culture of public service.
Brian Bailey?
Thank you, Chairman.
Retaining all these telephone boxes.
I feel I'd like to second Bill's proposal on this. The Fear Park, Fear Avenue, and Cable Lane is fine to keep them. They're getting used, which is Councillor Toy's point. There's no point in keeping the ones that aren't used. It's just absolute waste of time and a waste of money from BT. And I'm not madly keen on us adopting them. for any particular purpose. All I can see here is glass being broken, maintenance costs going up and up and up. And I'm sure Carl thought it's a good idea, and it may well be, but I think that we're going to bear the cost of these. I don't think that we should.
Well,
last one.
Can I just say that we will put a proposal forward for the adoption of, if one of the two, if Carla decides that it's worthy of consideration, we'll put a proposal forward to full council so that you can consider it.
No, right.
Okay, thank you. Maddie, last one.
Before we put any proposals forward, I would like to know the cost of replacing all the glass in one of these phone boxes
we won't be responsible, would we?
And all these three that are well used, yes, I think that's fine, but I would suggest taking on anything because I think the cost would be prohibitive.
Bill.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I would agree with the last two speakers. I applaud Carl in saying, yes, this could be really pretty decorative and become part of the art trail. But it's going to finish up next to the road. We're going to have to keep the door locked, otherwise we're public convenience. If the door's locked, people see things inside, they'll smash the glass to try and get at it. And it will be a constant drain, even though it's only costing us a pound, on maintenance, replacement of glass, and security. And I doubt whether our insurance company would want to cover a telephone box out of the exit of the road. So in other words, Chairman, you've suggested that we debate it again, but there isn't time because this has got to go back, as Ed Freeman better said, by the end of October, so before the next council meeting. So, as other people suggested, maybe as we're debating it now, we make the decision now, Chairman.
I've got a proposer, and which is yourself, Bill, and the seconder, which is Councillor Bailey, that we keep three. And the Hullam Road and Exeter Road be withdrawn. May I have a show of hands? Four. To keep the three. Those against, if any? Two. That's carried then. So the proposition is that we keep the three, get rid of the Hullam Road and Exeter Road. Lisa, happy with that?
That's fine, yeah. And no consideration of adopting.
No consideration. Right, grant application. The applicant is Exmouth Ceramic Group. Contribution towards the cost of a new clay storage shed. The Exmouth Ceramic Group are requesting support for a replacement clay storage shed. The group has self-funded £300 of the cost, and the whole cost is £1,068, which leaves a balance of £768. The group assists approximately 130 people from around the Exmouth area. And this is basically to combat loneliness and isolation, and they start access art projects which their illness or disability would prevent individuals from assessing and enjoying the hobby of pottery. It has also assisted the Town Council through the Exmouth Festival, and it has a strong role within the community, and it has had a strong role in the within the community for over 30 years. The group has classes for people with mental health issues, which they run three times a week. There are three public classes and three members' workshops, which are all open to all age groups. There is no other community pottery studio or arts centre in Exmouth or East Devon, and they have a great level of expertise and require a new clay storage shed. Cherry Nicholas, please.
Right. This is raised £300 so far. There's a balance that would be outstanding for £768. An ordinary shed, sugar type shed,
I think we should seriously consider giving them the full amount of £768, because three times a week they are a problem in the community, and they fund themselves basically by teaching able-bodied people the art of pottery, and the fees and everything else go towards having the 3 pounds a week classes, which are free to the disabled. So what all of you think, but I put it out carefully, but you know me, I'm tight with the money.
Steve Hazard. So, a proposer and a seconder.
I'll second that, or Steve.
I've got a proposer, I have a seconder.
Steve.
Okay. Good.
Two of the speakers to come in.
That's fine. I've got a proposer and a seconder. Show of hands, please. This goes forward. Those against, if any. All right, carried. Thank you. Move on to number 12, to receive the statement of income and expenditure against the budget and review the reconciliation of accounts against the bank statement. Lisa.
Okay, so I gave the bank statements to Councillor Masding to do the bank reconciliation. We did that at the very beginning of the meeting, but the bank statements are here if anybody else wants to have a look at them. In terms of the income and expenditure, there is an income and expenditure report there. As the RFO covering report highlights, the only area where there is concern is our election costs. Obviously, because of the town poll and then the various by-elections we've had, we have exceeded our budget considerably on election costs, but we do have money in reserves. We've got £6,179 in reserves that can go towards that overspend, and the rest of the overspend will have to come out of reserves at the end of the year. We'll reconcile it at the end of the year. That's the only area, really. Bearing in mind that we're 6 months through the year, we've just received the second precept payment, so from now on, I think you'll get a better indication of areas where, you know, we might be a little bit closer to budget, but there are no areas of concern currently. In terms of the rest of my report, there were four items highlighted under item 13 of the agenda for approval. Actually, there's five, because I did this in Julie's absence and I missed one. So there are two salary recharge payments that will need approving under item 13 currently. Bank reconciliation, as I said, Councillor Rob Masding's done that. You have the balances of the three accounts there: community account, business current account, and our active saver account. There's one unpresented cheque which dates back to the 14th of July. Balance as per our cash book is still very healthy. And then the payments that we've made during July, August and September. Obviously the September ones, we're still posting some charges relating to extraordinary move costs. So I would expect the October amounts will probably go up again, but we've obviously got the statutory compensation coming in from East Devon, which will cover those extraordinary costs associated with our move. And then in terms of the funds that we're holding on behalf of others, there's been no movements there in the project funds or the charitable funds. And we've still got £7,000 of national saving bonds on behalf of the Williams Edwards Westwood Trust. That's all from me. I don't know if anybody's got any specific questions relating to the income and expenditure report.
Steve?
We'll do it at the year end. Yeah. At the year end, when the accountant comes in and does our year end close with us, we will take out of reserves what we need to take out of reserves to cover the election costs. So
let's go back to number 12 then, to receive the statement of income and expenditure against budget and review the reconciliation of accounts against statement. We have a proposer,
yes.
Bill, and a seconder, Pauline. All those in favour, please show. Those against, if any. Carried. Thank you very much. budgetary control and authority to spend. I have a proposer, Cherry Nicholas, and seconded Steve Gazzard. All those in favour, please show. Carried, unanimous, thank you very much. 14, to agree a response to the DCLG Council TAC consultation. Consultation ends on the 28th of the 10th, 16. Lisa, I'd like to ask you to address the council, please.
So hopefully, if you've read the supporting information from NALC, you will know that there's sort of debate across the country regarding this proposal that comes round from time to time by DCLG that town council, parish council precepts could be subject to a cap, a 2% cap, which would mean that if we wanted to increase our precept by more than 2%, we could be subject to a referendum by the electorate in the town. This comes round time and time again. NALC's position on this is they are absolutely opposed to it because they've said that in the current climate of devolution, where we're being asked to take on more and more responsibilities from the district and county councils, to put a cap on it and to prevent us from raising the necessary funds through our precept that enable us to do what we need to do on our behalf of our communities is sort of contrary to the spirit of town council sort of power and authority. So we're being urged to write to our MP to say that we are opposed to this proposal by DCLG. And on one of the attachments, there was a covering letter from the chairman of the National Association of National Association of Local Councils, and then there was a page which considered the key points that we needed to put into a letter to an MP. So if you're happy, I will write to Sir Hugo Swire and use that as a template to say that Exmouth Town Council would be opposed to this particular piece of legislation for all the reasons that it cites in there.
Bill.
Yes, I'd like to propose, before discussion, that we give delegated power to the town clerk to write to Sir Hugo Swire as our MP on the basis that now I've just suggested that we totally oppose this. It would be very dangerous for any of us, and as you can see from all councils, that if district councils, county councils move things over to parish councils and they had no way of covering it, and they could run the town and parish council into the ground. So I propose that.
Lynn?
I've only got one concern, Chair, that you know, the very thing we discussed in this council about the devolution from principal councils to town council is that they could push more and more down to the parish council, and if we have no cap and we have no restraint on it, my concern is that, which is what we've expressed here before, that there's no money comes down and they suddenly start.
Too right.
To be charged of once £130-£140 because a lot of things have been already had devolution and it's gone down to the parish and there's already problems now that they want to put in more on there.
Yeah.
So that's my one concern is that you know you could have an unlimited devolution from the principal council with expecting the parish council to pick it up.
Yeah.
And it's a whole point. At some stage you've got to have a limit and say that.
I think the other issue is that there's such huge disparity across the country with the size of councils, our budgets, our precepts. I mean, they're saying that one of the proposals is that they would only implement this for parishes whose precept is higher than the lowest charges district council. But I mean, there are town councils. there are town councils with higher precepts on bandy properties than the district council. And of course also you get this disparity with unitary councils. For example, a lot of the Cornwall towns, their precepts are higher because it's unitary and they've taken on a lot of the functions of the district. So it's very difficult when you start applying blanket thresholds because you're not always comparing like with like. And I think it's the principle that it goes against, you know, it goes against what we're trying to do as town and parish councils in stepping up to the needs of the community. If we're being asked to do that on the one hand, but on the other hand, we're having our funding capacity restricted.
That, you know, there comes a point when they're actually sort of, you know, if you just put anything on the precept and said, you know, right, they're passing this down, they're passing that down, we'll put 50 quid on the precept, you know, and the public has got no feedback to that.
Brian Bailey.
Thank you, Chairman. I find myself agreeing with the remarks of all the last speakers. I'd just like to say that, in my opinion, this council and many others are fast approaching, if not they're already there, at the crossroads where we need to decide as a town council whether we are going to be prepared to take on these various things, allegedly as a gift from other places, but we all know they're not a gift. They're an encumbrance and a very expensive encumbrance. Now, if in the fullness of time, perhaps the very near future, we find ourselves in a position whereby the other authorities withdraw certain services, we may be very reluctantly obliged to take these services on. And if we don't go in favour of this bill, we will find ourselves in a position where we can't raise the necessary to administer these things. So I would fully support Lord Andrew as well. I think that's the way forward. Urge you collectively not to take on or offer to take on anything at all from anyone.
Thank you.
So it's been totally costly.
Here's Brian Toy.
Yes, I mean, we have an example already of the county council about the services that are going to be bogged down, and they've got enough cash to do them. So there's a good example of how this is not working anyway. I think it's an insult to us all that they don't trust us to use our common sense to deal with it, the budgets. I mean, we are absolutely reluctant to overdo it, aren't we? And we have this responsibility, a moral responsibility, to maintain the services, but to not to overcharge for it. You know, and another thing is, moving into Brexit, we could be moving into turbulent economic times. You know, inflation is going to start roaring away with the pound going down. I mean, if there's going to be a capping, at least we should have some inflationary element built into it. But I suspect it. They're not trusting us to run things. This is the problem.
Okay, Pat, please.
Well, I agree that we ought to be writing to Sir Hugo
yep.
and to telling me that we agree with not. But we are all sensible enough, I think, to realise that we can't take on everything. We can take on the things that are really necessary, I'm sure. But we've got to be level-headed about what we do.
Too right. Bruce.
I agree with what everyone said, and I note that the proposals of the Labour as a centralist sledgehammer to crack nut, but I am concerned about page 7 on the summary of proposals 1.222, where it says these reforms represent a unique opportunity to fundamentally change the role of local government and the way it's funded. The move towards self-sufficiency and the way from dependent central government is something that councils have been calling for over a number of decades. And that's something that I support all you've said tonight, but I think there is a certain ambiguity in the text that has gone out to councils. That on the one hand, National Association now is saying one thing, but the actual proposal summary is saying quite a different thing. And I just feel that we need to have clarity on that point. We could, please.
Which report are you referring to, Bruce?
Well, so when you go into the summary, so you click on one of the summary pages.
Is that on the DCLG consultation?
Probably. I mean, I'm not precise
yeah.
of what it's saying.
No,
I was confused because on the one hand they now put out this document which talks about sledgehammers and nuts, and on the other they're talking
yeah.
the summary says it's a good how would we rationalise it?
Okay. I don't know because I haven't I'd need to have a look at it again.
Whilst we're having a look at that, Pauline.
Our precept, the more
So this summary of proposals is actually the proposal that's come out from DCLG.
Yeah,
so now, NAL could attach that in support of their recommendation that this is what we need to challenge. This is the report from DCLG where it's recommending that, you know, they represent a unique opportunity to change the role of local government and the way it's funded. That's the DCLG recommendation, and NALC are opposing this. So we're being asked to write to our MPs to challenge this consultation paper, which is summarised in this bit. Yeah. So I don't think it's at odds. I think the advice that's coming from NALC is that this is what we need to rebuke.
I've got two more speakers, which is Tim, and finishing with Steve. Tim.
Two or three points. One is the DCLG for many years has opposed a fairer way of funding local government generally. That prevents devolution in some ways. But I think we've got to support NALC in what they're doing. And a couple of local things. We have on the bottom of our papers that we adopted the General Power Conference 3 years ago. What that meant was that we could take on anything we were not specifically disallowed from by law, but obviously we've got to take practicality into account. And a lot of councillors at that time opposed us taking on the general power competence, but we agreed we did, which was good. The second thing I'd like to say is, the third thing, is that we've done with the grass cutting this year, we've devolved. I, as a person, as a councillor, have not heard any complaint whatever, because the public generally believe that to be a very good thing. If we started flying drones,
yes,
on the hand, at public expense, they might start criticising us.
Especially the cameras.
There are lies.
Thank you. Last one, Steve.
Yeah, I just wanted to second bunch of
them. Good, I thought you might.
Can I just make a point?
Yes.
Last year, when there was a big challenge, we had a very good working relationship where before we sat down and talked about it, we said, you know, both for the three parties now, 5 years forward, what would it be like? And I think it's important that we do that again, you know, in the near future. Mm-hmm. We're not going, and it's going to be Christmas soon. Mm-hmm. But we're more than happy to set the motion there.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I think we're all in agreement there. However, we'll do it properly. It's proposed by Councillor Bill Nash and seconded by Councillor Steve Gazzard that delegated power to write a letter to an MP, Sir Hugo Swire, be authorised to Lisa, our town clerk. Those in favour, please show. Those against, if any, carried unanimously. Thank you.
Chairman, now I've got an amendment to that. Or an addition, anyway, not an amendment to that, because we voted on it. That perhaps the clerk can write to the appropriate government department on our behalf, as well as our MP. Would that be acceptable?
That's fine, yep.
Thank you very much.
Is everybody... Well, please. Is everybody in favour of that amendment?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I think they're all going, they've all got this. Right, thank you very much for your time and hard work, councillors. This being my first meeting, you can see how I work. Next meeting is the 7th of November at 1900, that's 7 p.m. at Holy Trinity Church. The meeting is now closed. Thank you.